How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. It is a rainy, cold Sunday night, and it feels fitting because of what we just watched with the Lakers losing to the Chicago Bulls tonight. I am joined, as always, well, not always, he's been kind of slacking lately, but as usual, by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, how are you coping with this devastating loss?
I'm hanging in there. I'm actually a little bit more. I mean, the rain's good for California because we're in a drought, but my back always bugs me more when it's raining. So
holy cow, you're old.
Yeah, I'm just gonna kind of whine about it.
Today's show is brought to you by Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is better than what you're wearing right now. We'll talk about them here in a bit. You can always find the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. And make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers on Mack Weldon to get your 20% discount on MackWeldon.com. Today's show, we're going to talk about the loss versus Chicago. And then from there, we're going to talk, you know, we're going to speculate about a trade that the Lakers should or should not consider, or a couple trades that the Lakers should or should not consider. Then we're going to get to an odd stat about D'Angelo Russell that we just can't figure out what might be the problem there.
There are some weird stats going around, that's for sure.
That's that, yes. And then we're also going to wonder, you know, with D'Angelo Russell talking about his knee, he said it affected him last night. We're going to talk about whether the Lakers should consider sitting him. And finally, it is Monday, so that means Harrison has a hot take ready for you to go. Or a hotter take than usual. It's been a while since he's been on the podcast, so he's been rearing up to go.
Yeah, well, I couldn't help but notice that you offered both of the guests that you brought on my place my job. So thanks for that. I appreciate it.
Did I offer it to Darius?
I'm pretty sure I remember that.
Huh. Weird.
Huh. All right. Well, let's see what happens next time I bring a guest on. I'm going to email them a contract before they come on and take your place.
And then David,
but anyway.
And then our boss will reach out to you and say, hey, we can't lose the most important member of this team.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into the show. The Lakers wound up losing to the Chicago Bulls on Sunday night. By the time everybody's listening to this on Monday morning or on afternoon.
It would be they lost to the Bulls on Sunday night, no matter when people are listening.
Well, I was going to say like tonight, but Harrison's on
once
one, everybody.
Once again, Anthony doesn't understand the concept of when that the podcast is not live right now, so...
The Lakers lose Sunday night to the Chicago Bulls. I do not have the final score in front of me, but it doesn't really matter.
118-110.
Okay. It was about as frustrating as I think it will be with the Lakers all season. I think I can go on that limb and feel pretty secure about it.
I saw a lot of people saying that, and it is the type of loss where it was a lot of mental errors, and so it is the type of thing that's going to make people frustrated watching it. The Lakers gave up 28 free throws tonight, which Luke Walton definitely had a problem with after the game, and he kind of spoke about at length that's been a problem for the team the whole year, and it is. They've been eighth in amount of free throws given up the entire year. So for the season so far, and so that's been a problem for them, and giving up 14 especially to Jimmy Butler on his way to 40 points is, you know, that's not nothing, that's meaningful.
My So for one thing, the Lakers have struggled this year with like the uber talented guy, right? Like they, it seems like, you know, when they go up against a Russell Westbrook, when they go up against, you know, it was Andrew Wiggins, when they go up against, in this case, it was Jimmy Butler. When they face that guy, it's tough for them to take anything away from that guy. They don't have the kind of defender on their team right now who's really going to disrupt anything with that kind of guy. So I've noticed that as a trend. And then the fouling thing, I hate to be that guy, but I wasn't thrilled with the refereeing.
So, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and people have been not thrilled with the refereeing a lot. And how much of it do you think is that Lakers players, since they're such a young team, that they're allowed less leeway by the officials? Oh, I think that has to be a big part of it.
Yeah, that's definitely going on there. The fact that the Lakers, like, it's kind of this chicken egg kind of situation where you don't know if it's, you know, if they're called for so many fouls because they get called so on, you know, for so many fouls because of the reputation kind of thing. What you're talking about is a factor. And then they have a whole bunch of bad habits defensively that they have to break. So,
well, and I think they're just young guys, so they don't always know where the line is.
Right.
But, and then sometimes they just do dumb stuff, like Russell randomly pushing. So I forget who it was on a 3-point attempt tonight. It was Mirotić. Yeah, just pushing him in the chest. Like Luke Walton, even that was one of the first times I've ever heard him call someone out by name after the game was, you know, just mention that specific mistake. And like that is the exact kind of thing that just that, you know, you have to learn not to do. It's just dumb. There's no point in it. Everybody has brain farts, but you just have to try and get past those because there's just no reason to foul there, to be touching him for any reason.
The Lakers had, like, you're talking about the dumb plays and the brain farts that they had defensively, but like they had a whole bunch of turnovers where you're just kind of saying, like, what the heck is going on? And I kind of thought about it a bit, especially defensively. They have,
well, some mostly bad in habits. The second half, they were good. I think they had zero turnovers in the first half. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then they had 10 in the second half.
I think what I could see kind of going on, and it's pretty hard to actually tangibly base this on anything, but what happens with talented players, especially young talented players, you develop bad habits because you happen to be talented, right? Like you can get away with doing things that other players might not be able to do because you've been able to get away with them to this point. And when I watch the Lakers play defense and they make some of these dumb mental mistakes, I get the feeling where it's like, you know what? We score so well that that sucks that I made that mistake, but I can kind of move on at this point, right? And yeah. And what I think is going on there is what I think Luke will probably have to stress to the team is, hey guys, just because we're a good offensive team doesn't mean we get to sleepwalk on defense, right? And I think part of what might be going on there is that they didn't anticipate being this good on defense so quickly. So, wow, I guess, wow, it's really not going to be that hard. And then you kind of slide on defense. But the fouling stuff, I think that's going to fix itself as the year goes along. It's frustrating as all heck right now, but I you know, it's all about habits, and they have to break a bunch of them.
Yeah, and quick correction, they actually coughed up 7 turnovers in the second half, not 10. They had 10 in the game, but the Bulls actually had 8 in the second half. So, like I mean, and the Bulls wanted to lose that game.
Oh my gosh.
So badly down the stretch. So I think that kind of gets into what we were going to talk about was this a must win for the Lakers if they wanted to keep any semblance of playoff hopes alive? Now that sounds like the hottest take ever, but I promise that's not the Harrison's hot take for this episode. I just like these are the types of games they have to take, especially when they're going into a tough stretch like this, where their next couple games are they host Oklahoma City, then they're at the Warriors, and then they return home for the Warriors the next night. But then they play the Warriors on Friday, then Sunday against the Hawks, and then a 4-game road trip where they play 4 games on the road in 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're heading into a tough stretch of their schedule.
They're in a tough stretch yeah. of their schedule.
Yeah.
So I tweeted that out, and I had a couple people saying, like, come on, man. They haven't even played their 15th game yet. You know, have they? I don't think they have, right?
No. I don't believe so.
Yeah, they haven't even played their 15th game yet. How can anything be a must-win as of right now? And it's pretty basic, really. It sounds like a hot take when you first hear it, but if the Lakers are going to make the playoffs, and again, I'm still kind of reluctant to go there with this team because I've
maintained this entire time. I don't think that they're a playoff team. I think that their success has been nice. It's been a fun, surprising story, but I don't think that they're a playoff team.
Right. So I tend to agree, although I do think they're closer than I think you think they are.
Yeah.
So
I'm also probably just stubborn and sticking partially in my preseason expectations.
You stubborn? What? So we, if the Lakers are going to make the playoffs, it's going to be by a really narrow margin, right? That kind of goes without saying. It's not like there's going to be some huge gap between the 8 spot in the playoffs and the 9 spot.
Yeah, and they're going to need some luck to get there.
Right, and so, you know, by that logic alone, you can kind of make the argument that all of these games are, you know, of raised importance if you're thinking playoffs. And then on top of that, when you look at the stretch that the Lakers are on, this was one of the more winnable games on this stretch. Chicago isn't, you know, they're pretty good, and they have a couple, you know, nice wins on the season. But when you look at the other teams that the Lakers are playing in this stretch, they're one of those teams that, you know, they aren't as good as the other ones.
Especially on the second night of a back-to-back on the road without Dwayne Wade.
Right. So, you know, the Lakers, this was one that the Lakers kind of need to have. And now, because they lost, if they want to keep pace with that, you know, potential 4-8 run, you know, if they want to reach that 4-8 spot that, you know, when we were looking back at the dozen games to go a little while ago, now they have to beat, you know, a Warriors team. They have to beat, you know, Thunder.
I mean, the two Warriors games are two wins automatically.
Well,
but
yeah, that's a good point. but you know, because they lost this one, a game that they, you know, that, you know, was going to probably be a loss. Now you're kind of saying, well, now they got to win one of those ones. And when we were saying, when we were talking about the four wins out of the next 12. That was, you know, looking at the schedule and, you know, the other games I didn't see as wins because they're against good teams. And this is a young Lakers roster that is still figuring themselves out. So if here's the thing. Playoff contention doesn't matter still, right? So I'm just saying if you really legitimately consider the Lakers a playoff team, tonight was a game that they kind of sort of had to win to remain in that playoff contention by the end of the stretch, right?
Yeah, and I'd say less that, but more it's just the type of game that playoff teams need to win in general.
Both of those things are true. Absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, and I don't mean to, you know, sound crazy.
Why aren't you bought in yet, Anthony?
Because I don't have enough money to buy in. Like, honestly. Okay. But I don't mean to sound, you know, hot takey or overly dramatic or whatever. I'm just saying that the Lakers have a lot of work to do to reach the point that people are willing to put them in right now. And as we've seen with the Dallas game, as we've seen with tonight, as we've seen with the last four games, right? They're on a 1-3 skid, you know, over the last four. And they're giving up. I think I saw the stat was like 119 points per game in the last four games. That is not a great. That is not what you want from a team, you know, that's trying to figure its way out across this NBA. And yeah, tonight was disappointing for many reasons. And it was a game that the Bulls were trying to give away, and the Lakers just weren't able to seal the deal there. And here we are now.
Yeah, their last four games, the Lakers have given up 116.6 points per 100 possessions, which is not great, and been outscored by an average of 7.1 points per 100 possessions over the last four.
Yeah, so the Lakers have a lot of work to do. And if you're one of those fans out there who consider the Lakers a playoff team, they now need to win, you know, a game against the Thunder, and they already lost to the Thunder. They have to beat the Jazz, and they already lost to the Jazz. So
yep.
Here we are. Let's go ahead and really quickly talk about Mack Weldon, then we'll get back to a little bit of trade speculation, because that's always fun. Mack Weldon, like I said earlier, is better than whatever you're wearing right now. Harrison, you're a huge fan. You've gone to a few games with a credential, and you said you are always wearing them.
Yeah, I wear my Mack Weldon socks and my Mack Weldon underwear to pretty much every game I get credentialed to that we bought from the site, because it's great. It's comfortable stuff. If you're out the whole day, it just it's just really, really comfortable. And the socks, I can speak for that. I haven't really been showing off the underwear, but I've gotten a lot of compliments on the socks. Because they look cool too. So it's not only more comfortable than what you're wearing right now, it's probably more stylish. So you should probably buy it.
Socks are kind of a big, I mean, not kind of, everybody knows this. I'm pointing out the obvious, but socks are, you know, it's a great way to up your respect game. And if you look at MackWeldon.com, like, they have some socks on there that will catch eyes.
Yeah, I was never a socks guy until this year. And then I started kind of matching my socks with my shoes, because I figured I'm an adult now. I can do that. And, you know, it's gotten me some compliments. And I think people have been impressed with it. But, you know, the socks from Mack Weldon have gotten by far the most compliments.
Yep. I didn't go with the socks. I went with the V-neck. I have a couple of the Pima V-neck shirts, and they're really comfortable. They look good. I like the colors that they offer, and my wife says I look good in them. And when you look at me, like, if you ever meet me in public, you'll have to say, like, wow, I can't believe something makes that guy look good. My wife said that I look good in those things. But again, Mack Weldon. So I like I was talking about, I have the Pima t-shirt. I went with I bought the sweater that they have, and it's pretty great. Again, if you haven't used Mack Weldon yet, your first pair of underwear that you buy with them, they guarantee that you're going to like it, and they feel so confident in it that if you don't like that underwear, you get your money back and you get to keep the underwear. So that's, you know, again, confidence. And, you know, even though Nick Young thinks that sometimes you can have too much confidence in shots, Mack Weldon deserves the amount of confidence that they have in their stuff. So again, make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers on MackWeldon.com to get your 20% off. Great, great, great merchandise. And let's get back to the show.
Okay, so Anthony, I have a new segment coming up for us that I'm not sure how often this is going to be recurring, but it's going to be, does Lou Williams consider this thing science? So tonight, Lou Williams said, I've scored all my life, so it's not even a science to me anymore, man. So Lou Williams does not consider scoring a science.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I guess he doesn't. I guess he thinks that there's not enough empirical data in it, like, to test it.
So is it like an English? Is it like a language?
He speaks through buckets.
I let my buckets do the talking. Now that's a t-shirt. For those of you who make t-shirts out there, that should go on a t-shirt.
I would sell it or buy a t-shirt that said, that was just a picture of Lou Williams that said, I let my buckets do the talking.
Yeah, and you know, people do fake memes all the time. So even if he doesn't say it, like, you could just imply it. That makes it work.
Yeah. Yeah, we could just make up quotes for Lou Williams.
Although I think he would like that quote. I bet he would
That sounds like something I could hear him saying that.
Absolutely.
I could definitely hear Nick Young saying that, which kind of leads us into our next segment.
I could see them saying that to each other or in unison.
Or like when playing one-on-one.
Is there a stop? Well, I guess now Nick Young cares about defense, so I guess there would be a stop in a one-on-one game between Lou Williams and Nick Young.
Well, there would be, because Lou Williams would draw a foul.
So basically, the premise of this segment is Lou Williams and Nick Young have played well enough to up their trade value. And should that continue as we near the trade deadline, teams will be calling to say, wow, how Nick Young cares about defense and Lou Williams can create for others. That makes both those guys a lot more valuable. And if you're the Lakers and you're still rebuilding a bit, you kind of have to listen. You have to listen to the trade offer. You have to figure out what you could get in for the either of those guys. And My thing is, I don't know if you're sending a proper message to the rest of the Lakers if anytime somebody starts playing really well, you move them out to, for whatever assets you can get in return.
And yeah, it's going to be like Philadelphia where guys are scared to play well because it means they're going to get traded.
Right. Or, you know, if I played for Philadelphia, I'd play well in the hopes of getting traded. But that's just me. So I'll go ahead and I'll ask you this and then I'll kind of respond to whatever you say. Would you, if you got the proper offer, if you got a good offer, if you got like a future first round pick from a playoff team, which would mean you probably, you know, a non-lottery first round pick for either Lou Williams or Nick Young, how do you respond?
You know, I thought, and hat tip to Laker Film Room, a.k.a. Coach Pete Zayas, for coming up with this at the Lakers Twitter hangout, this discussion topic. And we were all kind of mulling it back and forth. And at first, my answer was, well, yeah, I mean, you want to try it. Like, if you can get a first for Lou Williams, I don't think you're getting a first for Nick Young. But if you could get a first for Lou Williams, like, even if it's like a low, like, kind of end of the first round, first round pick, then at first I was like, yeah, you know, I think you obviously do that. Better asset for this team than Lou Williams. But, you know, this team is having so much unexpected success right now. I think it kind of goes back to what you were saying about it sends the wrong message maybe. And I think it also, if it directly derails from that success, then I think that it hurts the locker room. And I think that these guys are growing because they feel like they have a chance to win every night. And if they're getting down on themselves because, like, say Lou Williams is shipped out for, you know, a player to be named later, essentially, then you're losing a major part of your rotation. And I think some of your confidence is a little bit gone.
And the other thing, too, so we talked earlier about the Lakers not being a playoff team right now. I don't think either of us consider them a legitimate playoff team right now.
No.
But they could very well be next year, right? As these guys, you know, they get a full season under Luke Walton under their belts. They all, you know, one would hope that all these young guys continue to develop and grow. And next year, you know, when the season starts next year, injuries, you know, so long as everybody is healthy, when the season starts next year, I would say I would actually expect the Lakers to contend for the playoffs, if not make the playoffs, right? And if a playoff team is trading for Nick Young or Lou Williams because they think they can help, you know, those guys could help a potential playoff team, then why not keep the guys who, you know, others think could help a playoff team next year when you're an actual playoff team? So that's the other thing to take into consideration here.
Well, I think the thing to take into consideration with Young is that maybe you do. I think Young, I'd be willing to move more so than Williams, just because he may be gone by next year because he has a player option that everybody just assumed he was going to opt into next year. But he's actually playing well enough that he may want to opt out and get a multi-year deal. So I think for that reason, I think Young, I'd be more willing to move than Williams. But, you know, ultimately, I think the Lakers for now, they have such a positive thing going. Now, maybe they come out of this stretch and they actually go 0-12 on that 12-game, like, really tough stretch that they're two games into right now. And if they go 0-12, then maybe you start to consider, you know, moving those guys a little bit more while if their value is still high and they're still playing well. But if the Lakers come out of this and they're still kind of somewhat in the playoff hunt and the attitude around the team is still positive and those guys are still contributing, then I don't think that you do move them.
The Nick Young thing is tough because, like you said, there's a contractual thing that he might not stick around anyway, right? So that makes it tough, you know, regardless. And look, it sounds callous of me to say this, but at some point these kids are going to learn that the NBA is in fact a business, and that there's an aspect to this. It's not just going out and playing a game every day. And I would imagine, like, somebody like, you know, D'Angelo Russell, who went through the stuff he went through last year, you know, with people picking apart his off-court activities for, you know, almost as much, if not more, than his on-court activity. I would imagine for him, he's kind of saying, okay, yeah, you know, brand matters, image matters, all that. But I would say, you know, for like Brandon Ingram, who's been in the NBA for
Ingram, I don't know if Brandon Ingram knows that he's making money yet. I think like he just thinks that like he's just playing for the team and this is fun.
Yeah. And that's cool. You know, the innocence is cool. You know, eventually the innocence ends, you know, but for right
like
now,
I'd be surprised if Ivica Zubac has even cashed any of his checks for the Lakers.
No, he has to cash a check so he can go to In-N-Out. Like that's,
yeah, that's true.
But yeah, so, you know, while it would be something of a rude awakening for the Lakers to trade somebody like Nick Young, who is very popular around the locker room, based on all reports.
How right? weird is that to say?
It's super weird. But based on all reports, they, you know, this guy is super popular. He is producing at a level that I don't think anybody really saw coming on both ends of the court somehow, which is also crazy. If he turns his game around and he goes through all of that just to be traded, that's a rude awakening for everybody on the Lakers, all the young guys on the Lakers, to, you know, to kind of realize, oh crap, that's right. This is, you know, this isn't just hanging out and playing basketball. And that's the kind of thing that can shake you for a little bit, but eventually they, you know, players do move on. So I don't, you know, it would suck in the moment, but I think eventually they kind of move on. But what you're talking about with you, one thing that you mentioned was, you know, the roles that these guys currently have. Would you say that the hope would be going into next season or the year after that, that the Lakers upgrade their starting shooting guard position? Like that'd be the
hope, definitely.
Right?
That's another reason why I'd be more willing to move Young than I would Williams.
And I think I could ask that same question. Do you think it's possible that the Lakers find a better, you know, 6th/7th man than Lou Williams?
Not for the amount of money they're paying him.
And so because of those two questions, right? If you're answering yes on that one and no on that one, on the second one, then you kind of say, all right, the Lakers should really work on keeping Lou Williams around unless it's some, in, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if they offer. Get a killer offer yeah. from someone, then obviously, yeah.
But as of right now, the value that he offers now and in the, you know, in the not so distant future, that's what you're looking at there. And then with Nick Young, yeah, I mean, I personally, I'm looking at J.J. Redick, and I have been looking at J.J. Redick for the Lakers for the last couple of years. And if Nick Young opts out of his contract and the Lakers have a chance at signing J.J. Redick, I would say, hey, Nick, congratulations on the deal that you've earned yourself, this long-term deal that you've earned yourself by turning around your image and turning around your level of play. Congratulations on that. But the Lakers just upgraded and they got somebody who makes a little bit more sense for the Lakers. And if you're already thinking about that, then yeah, if some team comes along and says, we'll give you, you know, if it's a playoff team, I'd kind of hope for, you know, an unconditional second rounder or a pair of unconditional second rounders or a first rounder would be most ideal. And you kind of have to take that offer if you're the Lakers. As much fun as the Lakers have been so far and as cool it is to watch Nick Young revitalize his career, you have to listen and you have to take the right offer for him.
Yeah.
So to recap, keep Lou Williams and begrudgingly move Nick Young, but make sure you do so with, you know, reminding the locker room that, hey, this is what you do. This is what it takes to be successful in the NBA, right? Whatever what Nick Young was able to do in the time, you know, in the short time that Luke's been around and revitalizing his image, you tell all these young guys there, that was really cool of him to do that. And it is really cool that we, you know, that he is now a NBA caliber player once again. And congratulations to him on his way out.
Yep.
We're kind of segueing awkwardly here because that's the kind of thing we do. But Eric Pincus found an interesting stat on D'Angelo Russell. And honestly, we had to figure this one out.
Yeah, quote, I don't I don't really know where to go with this one, but so he found the stat. So we'll just read his tweet for you guys. But so odd, but D'Angelo Russell is shooting 28.8% from the field on Sundays, 46.5% on all other days combined. In total, 41.3%. Anthony, why would D'Angelo Russell be shooting worse on Sundays than any other day of the week?
You know, I just don't know. I usually try to, when I was working PR, it was my job to have answers for every question. But for this one, I'm completely befuddled. I have no idea what's going on.
You don't have any possible ideas?
Well, I mean,
should we speculate a little bit?
Yeah, we should speculate wildly because that's the kind of stuff that we do.
Okay.
My immediate response was he obviously hates our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Wow, that is strong. Okay.
Look,
all right. You want to explain yourself there?
Sundays are for celebrating everything that Jesus has given us, and he's just not celebrating it. You know, you should be honoring the Lord above. And he's not, and it's really too bad. It's a little disrespectful, honestly. But I don't know. No, where would you go?
So I would go the opposite direction, actually. I think he is a devout worshiper who doesn't want to overshadow God.
Oh, that's probably a better theory.
So, if he plays bad, then it's not overshadowing kind of the Lord's Day. So
also possible. So let's say he is religious
and if he's playing really bad, then Lakers fans aren't going to skip church to watch the game. They just know hey, Sunday's a loss.
That's also
let's
true.
Go to church.
What if we, so let's say D'Angelo Russell is religious. And so personally, when we would go to church, when I was growing up, after church, we'd have a huge spread. It would be usually it was fried chicken.
Maybe he ate a little bit too much. He's feeling weighed down.
Yeah, I mean, that just, it seems to make sense, right?
Okay, I actually, opposite direction on mine again.
Again?
Yeah, but I think there's a chance, so maybe part of his routine is that he's addicted to Chick-fil-A, and he always eats that before games, but they're closed on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just throws off his entire routine.
Oh, man. Also possible. I wish there was an explanation for waking up the day after some kind of activity and just not feeling like yourself.
That your Sunday morning might be feeling off is that the Lakers apparently don't have Sunday morning shoot-arounds anymore. So,
oh man, maybe they should bring those back.
Maybe that's throwing off his whole routine. He doesn't get that shooting practice in the morning, and that kind of messes his whole thing up.
That seems to make other than my first premise that he just does not like Jesus.
Okay.
That seems to make the most sense.
Let's go easy. Let's go easy on this hard J's. this is a podcast for people of all religions.
No, I was talking about Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, that was played by Celtics legend Ray Allen. So that's okay.
Did you just have a stroke?
I stuttered.
One day, somebody out there, please let us know what kind of activity.
Yeah, let us know on Twitter. I actually have one more.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out, maybe he's a big Andrew Bynum fan. Mm. Part of his Sunday routine is going to the bank and asking the teller to read him his account balance because there's a bank in every city.
Uh-huh.
But there is not a bank in any city that is open. And so maybe that throws him off on Sundays.
Well, then by that same, what if the Lakers told all the rookies that they deliver their paychecks on Sundays and no paychecks have gotten there?
Oh, yeah, that would mess me up. And then we wouldn't really know about Zubats because he hasn't played enough.
Yeah.
Although I guess Russell's a sophomore, so that kind of pokes holes in your premise. But
it might be a new team policy.
Yeah. So anyway, so those are our explanations for why Russell might not be playing as well on Sundays, or at least shooting as well. He's not shooting as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he went, what did he shoot tonight against the Bulls? He shot,
it was not good.
Three of 11. So that's not great. So again, like, I don't really know what's behind this trend. Anthony doesn't know what's behind this trend. Go ahead and tweet us if you have some potential explanations at Locked On Lakers why you think D'Angelo Russell might not be shooting as well on Sundays, other than just like random, I guess, like variants.
Yeah, I just, again, I feel like there's an activity that you could potentially partake in on, you know, say like a Friday or Saturday night, but and you know, it could throw
you off.
You're
speculating a little wildly now. I think let's slow down.
Let
the listeners go ahead and tweet us what you think is going on, because we're just stumped. Yeah. But anyway, while we're on the topic of Russell, you know, his knee, he missed Friday's game. We didn't do a show after that one, but he kind of surprisingly missed Friday's game with, I guess his knee was bothering him, and they decided to give him the extra couple days in between so that he'd have basically from Wednesday to Sunday to rest it. And he ended up playing again in Sunday's game against the Bulls, but he said that it was kind of keeping him from being as aggressive. Mm-hmm. So I guess, do you think that he should be playing right now?
I don't see a need for it. A need for it. Do you get it? A need. Do you get the joke? Harrison, do you understand the joke I just made?
Yes, I understand the joke.
Just making sure. I don't see why they would play him. If there's even a fraction of a percentage of a chance that he could potentially hurt himself, like really hurt himself, I don't have any desire to watch him, because the whole time I was watching him tonight, especially, like, I'm going to go back and rewatch the game after this, and the reason, you know, while I'm watching, I'm going to be watching for, you know, how he's moving on that knee, and that's not how I want to watch the game. And on top of that, for the Lakers, again, this season doesn't matter anywhere near as much as next year or the year after that or the year after that does, right? This week doesn't matter nearly as much as months from now. And what, you know, while it is nice to have D'Angelo Russell out there, especially in this stretch, it's nice to have D'Angelo Russell out there because you want to see him play against the best competition that the NBA has to offer. But if he's on, you know, a slightly less inflated tire or wheel than you know, another, if he's not 100%.
I mean, if they're having to inflate his knee, then that's a pretty big problem. They should probably shut him down.
Or if they're trying to inflate it and it won't inflate, like that would also be bad, right?
Sure.
Yeah. That was awful. We can cut that out.
Yeah, we need to bring Dr. Jen on the show to do a medical consultation on whether or not you can inflate knees.
We should. She's sleeping.
Go wake her up.
I'll go ask. Yeah, I'll go ask.
Hold okay, on. No. Just, but seriously, oh, no, what were you?
You don't want me to go ask her?
No. What What were you getting at? I'm sorry, I derailed this thing.
So, it's not worth it at all. Right. There's no, he's so important to the Lakers moving forward that any kind of serious injury to him seriously hurts the Lakers' chances of becoming as good as they can possibly be. Right. And if he's playing on, if he's gimpy out there at all, if he's already going through wear and tear, it's not like that gets better by playing on it.
Yeah. So that's what I'm worried, the one. About. The one thing I shout out to whatever reporter said this, I forgot who it was, but they said that part of the reason that Russell was thinking that he wanted to play through the knee thing is because he knows the NBA players deal with this kind of stuff all the time, and he doesn't feel like it's enough to sideline him. But yeah, I mean, everything that you just said, kind of ditto. I don't have a whole lot to add on that.
There's nothing really, I mean, usually I can see, like, usually if I'm having a discussion with something, I can kind of see the other side of the, you know, of the argument to be made that, yeah, he can just play through it. But there is no argument to be made. He's going to play the vast majority of these teams at some point later in the season anyway. So let him rest, let him get better, and go from there. I would even make the same argument with Luol Deng. Why is he playing? If he isn't okay, then why is he playing? And he doesn't.
It's important to note that we don't know for sure that he's not okay, which would actually be worse if he's totally healthy. But yeah,
that's true. But yeah. Because when I watched Luol Deng, now he was never, the kind of explosive athlete that you would say like, oh my God, look at that guy. Like that, he was never that guy at any point in his career. But when you watch him move nowadays, like he's consistently short on, he's been short numerous times on layups where he's right in front of the basket. And if he isn't okay, then sit him down too. And that just means more minutes for Ingram. And if D'Angelo Russell sits, that means, we get to see what Jose Calderon can do. That was a dark sentence. I take that back. D'Angelo Russell should play.
Young prospect Jose Calderon.
D'Angelo Russell should play every minute of every game to avoid watching Jose Calderon play basketball.
Yeah, fun fact, Jose Calderon, -33.6 net rating.
Oh, boy. Jose, come on. All right, let's go ahead and move on. Everybody, get your radios ready for this. Get your volume set. Harrison is about to scream at everybody because it's Monday and you got to wake up. Get ready for the work week. It's a short work week this week.
Get pumped for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'm about to bake your turkeys with this hot take.
Oh, good Lord. That was lewd. All right, ready? 3, 2.
All right, Anthony, I have a hot take. I think the Lakers should sit D'Angelo Russell, not because of his knee or any like health stuff like that. They need to sit him down because the Lakers are better off when he is not on the floor. Okay, we saw the stats about how poorly he's shooting on Sundays, and then, he's hurting his team when he's out there on those days, and the rest of the week, too. The team hung tough with the Spurs on a Friday with Russell out, and it's hard to say that they've played better than that in literally any game this year. I don't know that they've been better than they were against the Spurs. And I think
didn't they beat the Warriors?
Warriors are scrubs. Huh. I think the thing is that they're better with Jose Calderon out there. You know what I mean? I think he just has a lot of intangible leadership factors. And the other thing that you have to count for is he's a pure point guard, which really helps the Lakers starters because his complete inability to create his own shot forces him to be unselfish. And so I think that that's something good because it gets the ball around. You don't want – like you want your point guard to be the worst shot creator on your team. It's just like that is how you are a pure point guard, is that you just literally cannot get a jump shot off without being wide open on a spot up. And in that specific way, Jose Calderon is the purest point guard.
Could I also cut in one more time? Is that okay?
Fine. Go
all on. Right. Didn't you just a second ago talk about his negative net rating?
Forget about that. He's gritty and he has tons of veteran experience. Plus the fact that his teammates know that there is zero chance he can literally defend any player in the NBA, which gives them a head start on covering for his mistakes. Because they already, like with Russell, there's a question of, oh, is he going to keep that guy in front of me? Do I need to help? With Jose, it's like, oh my God, his guy has the ball. I need to get over there. And so that gives them a crucial head start on helping him on defense, I think. And that's better than defensive communication. If you just have zero trust in the guy that's in front of you, you just already know that he's about to get blown by.
I also wonder, I don't know if I agree with that theory.
Well, you're wrong. Russell, the other thing is offensively, he produces more turnovers than a bakery that went out of business. Don't talk to me about turnover percentage or advanced BS stats like that. The only numbers, I only need two numbers, Anthony. You know what they are? Box score and my gut. And Jose Calderon, the other thing about him is that he is just like, in my gut, I know that he is the better point guard. And the other thing, he's making more money than Russell. Why would the Lakers agree to pay him more money if he wasn't the better player?
I can't.
Exactly.
I can't.
Plus, Did you see Russell in the fourth against the Bulls on that last hero ball shot? Forget about the other 47 minutes that came before that. You know the one that I'm talking about where he just shot it too quickly, and that was completely and literally the only reason that the Lakers lost the game. That was a preposterous shot, Anthony. So forget about the Lakers playing like their last coach was in charge of, still in charge of the defense the whole game before that. Forget about their lackadaisical turnovers. The loss was all D'Angelo Russell's fault, and I think that it made it clear that the Lakers are better off when D'Angelo Russell does not play.
I still disagree, but I feel like I don't have room to make a point here.
I feel like I made a pretty strong case, honestly.
Yeah, you really did. I mean, there's nothing I can really say to... Yeah, I mean... Sorry, no, Russell.
Hot takes.
That was Harrison's hot takes, and this was Locked On Lakers. Today's show is brought to you by Mack Weldon. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLAKERS to get 20% off at MackWeldon.com. You can find all of our other shows. We have some good ones. We talked to Darius. We talked, you know, Foreign Blue and Gold. We talked to Zach Harper.
So you're just going to shout out the shows that I wasn't on. Yeah. Like I'm not just like still sitting right here.
Yeah, make sure you guys check out those shows. The other ones, you know. But the other ones are okay, but the ones that Harrison weren't here for, they were tremendous. Mostly because the guests were really good and I just happened to be there. But
so are you calling me the D'Angelo Russell of this podcast? I'm the one that records it every time and you're better with me on the bench.
I have some Spanish blood in me, so yeah, I guess that makes me Jose Calderon.
Okay then.
God, I'm old too. That also works. God, I set myself up for disaster. You can find all our other shows on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Have a great rest of your Monday, and we will talk to everybody again tomorrow. I believe we have a good guest lined up for tomorrow's show, so we'll talk to everybody then.
All right, thanks, Anthony.
Shouts to Larry Spriggs.